Blog Talk Radio.
Picture of something you see. To the future.
Welcome, everyone, to the Deanne Burley Show, and this is Detectors Radio Broadcast Network. And I'm on today on Saturday, and we're taking live calls, but we're going to talk about the issue that people are not looking at. We're hearing all over the media how bad, you know, black people are and black youth, and, you know, nobody actually asked or have young people in the black community speaking out about what is going on with them. We always look at it and consider it based on what we hear on the news. We see on the channels that somebody gets shot immediately, you know, it's got to be gang related. Immediately, it's got to be, you know, all black youth are bad people. And the thing is that there's something wrong with the scenario because, you know, I look in general in different areas and communities in Chicago and all over the country. If you have a bad pocket of white individuals, I saw them yesterday skateboarding down the street. It was like 10 of them. And they were in the middle of the street where they shouldn't have been riding on skateboards all over the place. And I didn't see the police looking at them. But one black individual, or two or three of them, gather in the corner, they got to be criminals. They got to be perks. They have to be doing something wrong. But right now on the show today, I have a young man talking about his aspect of what he sees and how he's been criminalized all his life. And he'll give you the input of what a young black person feels today in America. And I would like to welcome Dante on my show. Dante, this is Deanne, and welcome to my broadcast.
Thank you for having me on the show, Deanne. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly. And I would like you to talk to the audience candidly about your experiences as being a young black person growing up in Chicago. And the things that have been going on in your life.
Well, growing up, I was always targeted and selectively prosecuted. I always seen my community get invaded, everybody being stopped and frisked, taken in the custody to be identified. And when I look on the debate, it sounds like they're going to be doing that to everybody in America for either deportation or terrorist reasons. Everybody's saying that I'm a spirit, I guess. But, it was just a lot of poverty. I learned about the war on poverty. You know, people think the war on poverty is like welfare and things of that nature. But the war on poverty is really the attack on the people in America that does not have an administration, political, or a corporation to defend them. In America, it's about corporations and allies. Do that make sense? Am I making sense?
Yeah, it does. You're saying that America is a corporation, which it is, and the people are in this corporation, but I guess what you're saying is that you don't have any representation in this corporation, correct?
Right.
And one of the things that I saw in you, and I met you, you know, on the streets in Chicago, is that you were frustrated to the fact that you have no voice. Is that not right?
Yeah.
Now, how is it that you feel you don't have a voice? Just give us an example.
Well, I don't have a voice because the only voice is from the establishment. Everybody decides what's going on based off of what the news shows, not they see in front of their face. So if I say something, it's going to be said, no, that's not the way, or no one's going to listen to it because it's not coming from the establishment or a certified person.
So, in other words, you feel that if it's a law enforcement officer or somebody that is generally empowered And when the story is broadcast on the media, it's not giving a fair reference to the other side, like, for instance, your side or whoever is being, you know, touted on the news as being involved with it.
Well,
action.
I don't know if they give a fair side when they do tell a story, but I know it's a lot of stories that they never tell. And people think that because they never tell the stories that it no longer happens or that it's not an issue. And so the people who it happened to have no voice because people not trying to hear it and they only listen to one side, and that's the news or the people that they're around that's in power.
Well, let me ask you this question. You know, everybody's very curious because according to the media, this is the worst town in the whole USA, the most murder rate than ever, and it's in the Black community. Do you feel that, you know, Black youth are just roaming the streets and just shooting people for no reason? But what's causing all this violence?
What I feel is that we're in a time of miseducation and desensitization. So the miseducation, hold on real quick.
He's saying miseducation, and I'm waiting for him to come back. Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So look, it's a miseducation and a desensitization, right? They're told that they were slaves and that they're free and that they have rights, okay? And they're placed in a vulnerable situation where they recognize the illusion of inclusion and the fact that they have no protection in society at all. So it creates a fear upon the people that they have to prove themselves because they're always being challenged, targeted, or attack.
Wait, you said challenged. Is that challenged by other youth, or is that challenged by the society? What do you mean by challenged?
They're challenged by everybody in society, by their teachers. You know, like their teachers want to see how tough they are. The police want to see if they know how to bow down. The gang, the people on the corner want to see can they fight. They're tested and challenged with a disregard for their psychology and their person. And so, like, when we look at a situation, we want to just look at that surrounding situation like they do with, like, gay rights. When we look at gay rights, we say, oh, people should have a right to be gay. But that's just one situation. Where, as a totality of the situation, we have people being dehumanized and demeaned all around the world and taken advantage of, and we're circling into one situation that is a result of or something that came that was created because of the original situation. So when you talk about kids shooting kids, okay, that situation comes from many people being in one neighborhood and not talking to each other. That situation comes from the fact that it been no community development plans for the Black families since they began to build projects in the Black communities. I just want to say that you can't blame Black youth for Black-on-Black violence, and you can't blame the Black adults for their neighborhood watch and believing that they should further disarm their younger community because they haven't been involved in any other political or social development in their nation. You know, so we're coming from generations to generations where we tried to fight and get involved into politics, and then we were killed and incarcerated, and now we're in this generation where we don't want to be involved and we're complaining about the lack of involvement and the consequences of the lack of involvement in the nation and land that we're living in.
Well, do you think? Okay, let's kind of look at this at a point. I'm going to kind of see if I kind of look at this because I'm older than you, and I know what happened. And I think you know, maybe my scenario might be different in which it is than yours. But from my visual of what I saw, you had black people at one time working, having jobs, and you know, be able to feed their family somewhat, but there was segregation. Then they desegregated the community and then removed the basis of so-called racism, which was never removed. And then what they did is then put us in a situation of vacuum, and now we're in a situation that we have to be able to meld in into this new level of society. So you had blacks with whites and whites not accepting blacks, and then you had more racial discrimination. The schools were more impacted with racial discrimination. I'm talking right after the civil rights movement. And then the youth, you know, felt differently. They didn't get a chance to be able to speak their mind, feel safe, or anything going into the school system. Because they're not only challenged by the school system itself, now they're challenged with face-to-face confrontation with individuals of a different color that are mad that they have to go to school with blacks. So now you have that going on, and then you have a situation that kids had to protect themselves leaving the school because they didn't know if they were going to be further attacked by these individuals that did not want them in the schools in the first place when they desegregated. So then moving forward, you had the youth out there that were, you know, trying to just be youth. And then the police started targeting them, you know, on levels that, you know, if you were standing in a corner with two or three of your friends, you're immediately considered a gang. You're considered somebody getting ready to do something bad. So then you're picked up on the street, you're harassed. Some of the kids were beaten. Some of them shot by police. Some of them incarcerated. And they got to the point where the police were not trusted. The schools were not trusted. And they were in a situation of non-protection from family or anything. They were out there by themselves. Is that not true? Is that what you see? Or?
Yeah. I grew up in the neighborhood of police corruption. A guy who was alleged to be paying a police officer was shot in front of the police station on his way to allegedly turn the police in, named Otis Moe. I was always stopped and frisked on my way to school and stopped and frisked on my way coming back from school. I had got a secret indictment at the age of 16. And anytime I was seen, I was stopped. And if I didn't like it, I was either beat up, put drugs on me. You know, so I did 8.5 years for wrongful incarceration and 4.5 years of solitary confinement doing that wrongful incarceration. And when I filed my post-conviction, they told me that the sole remedy of a post-conviction is released from prison, and I never should have been tried as an adult at all. They didn't mention the ineffective assistance of counsel or the police corruption in my neighborhood. So it's hard to break down different types of scenarios and look at what the history book shows us or what we believe what was happening, because it's against the law still today. The 13th Amendment, as well as the Dred Scott case, makes the emancipated slaves lesser than a refugee, immigrant, and foreign. The fact that we have no administration for our social groups makes us disgusting to society, and dependent upon other social groups, administrations, corporations, and everybody else's resources. So when we understand that, we better able to understand why we're getting a lack of education, why we're not getting any civil defense, why we're being terrorized in our community, is because we're in a nation that became a nation based off its allies and has a capitalistic concept that is based off of communion, companionship, and community. You know, so we got all these social groups, networks, organizations, and it's none for black people. And so the only time we look at black people is if we talk about a problem for black people. And so that hires the problem, but it don't really come to the solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, the whole thing you're talking about, and I want to make sure that the listeners understand as well, you were a kid growing up in the community, and you had to fight every single day, I mean, and scared every day. You were scared because you were, you know, being accosted by the police on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You said frisked on the street for no reason, arrested,
right.
Given your rights to. We're young, and nobody explained your rights when you were arrested. You should not have even been incarcerated in an adult lockup, but they put you in an adult lockup anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you were in a situation all your life that you've been fighting, correct?
Yeah.
And because of that, you have pent-in, aren't you feeling pent-in anger, or is that not how you feel? How do you feel right now?
I don't feel no anger. I feel that it's a miseducation in the school systems. I feel that I've been placed in a social group that has no political administrators. I'm just looking at the world that I'm in and recognizing that one of the reasons why I went through the things that I went through is because of politics and law, which control all of the socio-economical and other advances and advantages and benefits and restrictions and regulations that's all throughout our country. I don't really feel no type of way about it, I guess. All the time in solitary confinement kind of took my ability to hold on to emotion. I just let it flow. But I do recognize that I've been traumatized and psychologically abused because I was told that I had rights that I didn't have or wasn't able to protect as a orphan and a bastard narrator.
Well, let me ask you this. How about family? Did you have any family support or anybody that was there for you that you felt that was going to, you know, acknowledge what was going on and fight the cause for you when the police, you know, harassed you on the street or you felt that, you know, things weren't going for you in the school? Did you have any backing from anyone?
Nah. Black people only back people with what they know. They only know what they was taught. They don't know nothing about law or politics or civil rights, and so they're not going to back you on any of that stuff. My mama was shot in the head during my continually shot during my growth in the world. But I'm sure every black person comes from a dysfunctional family in some way or sort. And everybody want to keep breaking down the problem, but the problem is really like one simple problem, and that's that we are dependent upon the government that is dependent upon the people. And we're not a part of the people that the government depends upon. So we're not even a part of the decision-making process or the policy-making process. And so we have no representation, and we're being taxed without representation, and we're being prosecuted without representation. And we want to keep talking about the issues that the libertarians or the other organizations create for us other than our main issue, which is that we've been placed in a group without grouping together.
So, in other words, you're being grouped up as being Black, African-American, whatever the hell they want to call us, you know. And you're grouped up in it, but you have no group because nobody's responding, correct?
Exactly.
So if the response is, like, for instance, if you were Jewish, and let's put this, you know, this point blank, if there's a Jewish individual that comes home and there's a swastika on his door, or some kind of effigy left outside his home, he can get on the phone and call someone. And he'll have attorneys and civil rights activists and everything right there at the door dealing with it. But Black people, do we have that?
No. In fact, our civil rights attorney tried to fight for people in other countries. Immigrants, foreigners, not for our people. We have politicians that is on the administration for the social group. Okay, so when a white person get arrested, they say they know exactly who to call their mother. Their mother has a family lawyer or some individual. The reason why they have these set up because they had to have these things to come to this country. We don't have it set up because we were being conquered in this country. We were being prevented from learning in this country. And even though Lloyd Gaines tried to get us a legal education, he went missing. And when people go missing or attacked in this country, the issues that they fight for become abandoned. Like Martin Luther King was fighting for civil rights. And once he died, no one wanted civil rights. No one believes in civil rights. No one fights for civil rights for the people in America.
Well, you know, there are individuals that are different right now. You know, the ones that are out there, the old school ones that say that they were right there with King, they say they're still out there fighting the civil rights. Do you see that or you're not seeing it?
Well, Jesse Jackson told me, welcome to being Black. When I told him I have a 7-year lawsuit with paper trails and the officers admitting that this is a procedural policy to torture inmates. I went to the Nation of Islam. I went to Father Flagrant. I went to every organization said that they were in any type of way representing the Black people. So when you tell me that it was all the organizations, even the police brutality people doing civil rights, Uptown People Law Center doing civil rights. I went to all of them people, and each one of them told me that they don't do civil rights in that capacity, or that's not the issue. They don't know me, or I'm not going to win, or these people are going to kill me, or, you know, we don't need to be worried about law. That's there, you know. So, no, my answer for that is no. No one's out here doing civil rights.
Well, you know, with me being from almost, you know, that era was a little bit older than me, but I was right there because I was out as a kid. And you're right. You know, you had the doctor who had, you know, Stokely Carmichael, who nobody talks about anymore. And you had other individuals that were out there, you know, fighting for the cause. And you had real Black press. But today, it's like they come on and they speak about stuff. But as far as doing anything, it's mute ears. You know, it's kind of like it's dysfunctional. That's all I can say. I mean, how the hell is it that, like I said, they got a Jewish defense fund. They have a defense fund for, you know, if somebody's targeted through not only Jews, but also people that is Islamic. Every single group out here, Chinese, Japanese, whatever, they all have someone to go to. But blacks don't, and you hit on a very important situation that people realize, you know, that we're grouped together, but we're not a group. There's nobody in the black so-called group or whatever you want to call it working together. I've seen it countless numbers of times. I mean, how do you have a group of people that are basically boarded up in a little box saying that they're all black and not none of them can come together on one event and work it in a way that would be plausible to stop these things going on? Because to me, and I want to ask you, do you feel that black youth are important to the older generation?
No, the older generation feel like the black youth haven't been through anything. The older generation have abandoned and neglected the black youth to the system and to integration. All they can tell the black youth is to go to school and get a job, even though they haven't succeeded in any form of curriculum or career. The older generation does not listen to the black youth nor interact with the black youth, nor do they teach the black youth anything, because the only thing they know is go to school or get a job. So they have nothing for the black youth to cultivate, nothing for a craft, no intellectual property, there's no law, no politics, there's nothing for them. So they can't really even, you know what I'm saying, appreciate the young. That's why the kids who have kids, it's like, I don't want to be burdened with kids. So it's an increasing birth control and abortion, contraceptive use. And the people who do have kids, having them just like as a form of like a will, you know? It's no real like center for guidance or
you're saying basically there's a lost direction and path because there's no support through family and there's no support through the systems of the school because I gather and seeing how the education is going in the Chicagoland area where they're removing, you know, every bit of things that were there to, you know, kind of give you some kind of hope and aspiration to move in the direction of, you know, getting some type of career and things. You know, they used to have technology schools and things, and they're not supporting that anymore. So the only thing that youth has for them is to go to prison. Is that not right?
Is to go where?
To go to prison.
The option to dead or in jail or a job or school. Them the only options for their jail, job, school, and when they go to jail, they forgot about, you know, if they go to school, they have to struggle by themselves and figure out how they, you know, keep their liberty, because our liberty is always subject to revocation. You know, the elders believe that they know the way for the youth, and the way that they believe is through the integration process, but they are forgetting that the integration process was for them to develop self-determination, not for them to be comfortable in the integration and assimilation.
Now, I was told something by someone, and I just wanted to ask you. Do you think if everybody, you know, is needing and, you know, getting provided with welfare, you know, whether it's, you know, the link card or, you know, some money for, you know, growing for children, do you think they would sacrifice that for getting rights in this country? Would they, you know, speak up and fight if it's a situation where the rights are not there for them, but as long as they're giving government benefits, they're going to continue to allow the system to just envelop them?
Well, government's benefits is a part of the right. The concession process is a part of the three generations of rights, human rights, civil rights, and political rights. The fact that we allow the government to give structured concessions is because we're not involved in our three generations of rights. So it's like we're just accepting whatever the government say. So it's like the reparation issue, okay? The reparation issue could easily be decided through a civil right complaint. And instead of filing a civil right complaint for the issues that's happening today, we talk about past issues and try to compare and contrast. Instead of us complaining about the things that we go through on an everyday basis and how it is difficult for us, we talk about what we've been through, or we talk about things that we don't understand, okay, and that other administrators provided for us. So, like, miseducation is number one issue. Desensitization is the next issue. And the elders of the black community have to be willing to support and invest in the youth. They're not willing to support and invest in the youth. They're only willing to support and invest in the system. And they can't recognize that they're doing that because they're saying if they can't get a job, their child's going to be able to give them $100 to $200. You know, every 2 weeks or so, you know. And they're like, if they can't go to school, then that's a chance for their kid not to go to jail. Okay, it's not a real right to culture that they believe in. It's not a real right to self-determination that they believe in. It's a survival. We're being picked off. This is the way that we have to survive. And instead of saying that we have fear, instead of saying that we've been conquered and we're trying to adjust and adapt, we're saying, oh, we're kings and queens and, oh, we've been set free, when this is not what the law say, you know? So it's like we're not in reality. We're in a version of the indoctrination that we've been given through our education system.
Well, you know, that's the thing, the illusion, you know. Illusions to make you feel that you are, you know, safe. Illusions to make you feel that you have been provided for. It's all an illusion because, you know, if you actually take into consideration how much people are making today, black community, how much do they have to pay out of the black community just to survive daily? There's no money. When I see big conglomerates like Johnson Publishing Company just folded in and sold off to some Texas group, and the Defender the same thing, and you have no actual black newspaper published, you know, that was around the globe or anything of importance that solidify the actual actions and what is going on in the community, that's the beginning of you having a problem because, you know, the community doesn't support their media, and they're relying on other people's media. This is the reason why these stories that we're hearing are all twisted. You know, you're hearing that black people are running down the street with guns, just randomly shooting people, shooting at cops, you know, just murdering, killing. You believe, or do you see that going on in the mouth that they're saying in the media? Is that many murders on the streets in Chicago today, all related to black crime?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Do you feel that all the murders that they're saying in the news are all related to black youth and individuals that are criminals? Do you believe that, or what do you see?
Well, crime is the law, and the law is based on the majority of the people, and majority of the people control 80% of the population. So it's the minorities controlling the majority through separation. I know you keep talking about people dying on the street and the black youth killing people. And it's to make it seem as if, like, the black youth have no intelligence, no humanity, and they don't care. But the thing is, they do. Even though you might hear on the news, like, it was a random this or a random that, but we don't hear the whole story. We just hear parts and pieces of it. And so we just use our imagination to come to our own conclusions or the conclusions that they have given us. And I grew up in the street, and I've seen a lot of shootings. I witnessed a lot of violence. And that just is a part, it's a effect, cause and an effect. Thing happens, causes and effect. When they invaded the neighborhood and locked all the elders up and then released the women and children, it was only kids out on the street. And that had a consequence and an effect. And so I can't individually scrutinize an individual for some type of altercation that he had, whether it was violent or otherwise, because I am looking at the situation as a whole.
So in a whole, you're talking about maybe like one situation is different from the next, and the situation is that, you know, it was this one individual that's dealing with it as he can in a personal level. So it's not everybody, it's just a few people, correct? Or would you say more?
What I'm saying is, everybody definitely going through their own struggle, but what I'm saying is that whatever a person does during that struggle is not necessarily saying that they did it without thinking, or they did it without any type of feeling for their fellow man, or, you know, I'm not saying that anybody is incorrigible or that the issues that I'm not saying it is a black-on-black crime issue, okay? What I'm saying is that the individuals who are impoverished and in the street has very few options to succeed or even to survive. And we want to talk about the consequences of placing these individuals in these predicaments instead of the predicaments that we didn't place these individuals in. And I feel like that is very discriminatory and prejudiced. And it's only because of our lack of understanding of the law that we support other political administrations and their political issues blatantly without even understanding what it is that we're saying. So, like, when you're saying black-on-black crime, you're saying that you can't trust your youth. You're saying that you can't talk to your youth. And you're saying that they're incorrigible and need some type of rehabilitation with the criminal process, okay? And that's a criminal procedural law argument that you're making against your own people. And you're not making a civil law argument against your people because our people don't believe in civil rights, okay? So it's like they got this thing called crime, and they say you do the crime and you do the time. And
we do this voting process where we pick the people who's going to come up with the legislation that determines our crime. And so now we got red light stop cameras, and now we got stop and fish procedures, and Donald Trump saying he's going to make sure that everyone in America is tagged and we know who is real citizens and who is not. Okay, and we're agreeing that we're going to put these people to determine our laws, and then we use these people concepts to attack our own people. And that's my response to that.
Okay, well, Deontay, I'm going to stop you here. And folks listening, if you want to call in to the show, 718-508-9513, 718-508-9513. And we're going to break for a minute. People listening on Facebook, I will be back on, but we're going to break for a moment. And Dante, hang in there. Hold on. We're going to be back on the broadcast for a minute. I'm going to play some music here. And then we're going to come back and talk to Dante more. Dante, can you still hang on here and be a part of the show?
Yeah.
Dante?
Yeah.
Can you hang on here and still be a part of the show?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be gone for 1 minute for this music, and then we'll be right back. Waiting for the tape to come on and call her 718-508-9513. Why don't you tell the audience how we're doing this? How we can help with aren't you going to organize something? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what'd you say?
Okay, just hold on 1 second. I think we're coming up here.
Thank you.
And that was Marilyn Manson and Nobody. And we're back here on the Deanne Baroli Show on the Detectors Radio Broadcast Network. And callers, 718-508-9513. And we're talking a very important subject here. Because, see, the equations that they're putting out there in the press are not factual, because they're not looking at both sides. You know, it's just like the judicial system. Fairness in the courts is supposed to be a balanced law that represents a situation where parties that are complaining parties come together, and both sides have the equal ability to talk and complain, state their case. But in the case of black people, black Americans, that doesn't go on in the justice system. You don't have the right to speak your case because you're already deemed as guilty. It's already been, you know, hammered down, already a decision by, you know, police officers to pick you up in the street. He has to say so over whatever happened. Now, it doesn't mean that there's a complaining witness. He acts as a complaining witness and also arresting officer. Is that legal? Is that not one-sided? The thing is that people are being tossed into prison every day, African-American young kids hit and mistreated and abused in the system. And the thing is that they have post-traumatic stress disorder, and it's because of the way that they're being treated. And the thing is that the older people in the black community, as Dante was saying, ignored it. And the older people in the black community are not communicating with the young people in the black community. So how do they know what's going on? Like you say, go to school, get some job, work. But they don't know that in those two equations that they, in order to make the system work, have to be involved in the system, be involved with the school, see what's going on in the school. If your kid's being taught the right things and measures in order for him to be successful, and help guide him to get a job. Not just use work, but mouth words that you heard from some other group or somebody, other person in the media or somebody that says a buzzword of, oh, get a job. It's not like that. You can't just get a job. And then if you're already criminalized, how the heck are you going to get a job in the first place? So I'm going to bring Dante back. And Dante, what I said here, I don't know if you heard it all, but what is your opinion of that?
in my opinion, I think we need a law group for the people.
You need a law group, and the thing is that you can't get two or three black people to understand that. You know, the whole thing is that we're sitting there and we're looking at stuff and not realizing that prepaid legal is not going to deal with this, not in any of that. And have you gone to NAACP and these other organizations? Have they helped you at all with legal issues?
No.
They have not?
No, they don't help me. There's always some type of stipulation to the help. The help that they do offer is regulated by law. Either organizations don't help the individual or churches. It's all regulated by law.
What do you mean, by their law or some other law?
By the government law. It's only one law.
So the government law, if you're saying, is a basis of discrimination within our own people to provide assistance services to us.
Yeah, like if you get a 501c3, one of the stipulations to that 501c3 is that you can't help individuals.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that. You have to enter in gathering things for a whole group. So, in other words, like, for instance, what you said earlier is very true. You have church organizations and other individuals out there gathering up food and clothing and all this assistance. And instead of implying it to people here, that stuff goes overseas. So the people here, you know, they do give some. Don't get me wrong. There's some people that give some things out. But the majority of stuff is carted over to a different foreign country. Is that what you're seeing? Is that true or not?
Well, that might be the case for instances, but what I'm talking about is basically, I know we understand like most churches have food pantries, but what we don't understand is that we have a right to food, okay? And so the government uses these organizations to give concessions to the people that they already supposed to get, okay? But they can't get the stuff if they're not on the list, okay? So it's like you got to be in this area, and this church can only give food pantries to the people who applied in this area, and they can't give it to the people who don't apply or don't meet the application process, okay? So one of the reasons why you have to apply is because on the application process is some type of form of membership. Stated that you qualify in that membership because you meet the qualifications and stipulations. That you're in this area, you make under this amount of money, you're a legal citizen in America, you know, whatever it is. However, the individuals might not have proof of address. The individual might not have proof of income. The individual might not live anywhere or not be in that, you know what I'm saying? So an individual just coming to this place and saying, hi, how you doing? This is what I've been through. They're going to be told, we don't help individuals. Okay, so basically it's an integration process, the same as the job and school system, where, you know, you're told to get a job so that you can provide yourself, but what you're not being told is that you're in a condition of servitude and you have no access to resources. And you're going to stay in this condition of servitude because you're only providing services to get basic necessities, you know? So it's like a...
the basic necessities are, you know what? What are you talking about there? What's the basic...
Like people work for 30 years, you know, just to get their right to food, their right to housing, and their right to clothes. Okay, and each right was subject to being revoked at any time during that 30 years if the check came late or if they lost the money or if, that's what I mean.
So if the check comes late, then they're out of luck, in other words.
Right, so basically... what I basically was saying is that it's an illusion, a delusion, where they're saying they're being provided this right, okay, but it's upon condition of the service. And the service that's being provided is being underpaid. Like, so I'm scrubbing these floors. It used to be indentured servitude. You do a form of indentured servitude, and then you be set for your life, you know, for 7 years. So they just increased it, and now they got it where you can do 40 years and still have no means to resources after that 30 years, no rights to resources, food, clothes, or housing after that 30 years. And so it's like the people lying to the people, because the people who going through the things convince other people to go through the thing. And they did.